About 9, 10 some years ago, I went to a music store to buy a guitar pick. And some of you guys said, you play guitar? No, I don't play guitar well. I'm a musician wannabe. I went to get the guitar pick. I kind of have to tell you what kinds of musical capability I have. When I start leading worship in our church, our congregation start to grow. That pretty much tell you. Anyway, I went there to, after I purchased a guitar pick, I should have really bailed out quickly. But I kind of lingered around in the store, looking around, and there my eyes dropped into this particular beautiful guitar. I looked at it. And I made a second mistake. I picked it up and started to strum and then playing around. And then the store owner came by. He said, "Hey, Juno, why don't you take it into the sound room and plug into speaker? And then you see the big neon sign flashing with a capital S, sucker." When I walked out that store, I had a guitar pick in my hand, on my right hand, on the left hand, guess what I was carrying? Expensive guitar. Do I need it? No. Do I know how to play well? No. Well, is it necessary? No. I had that urge of that silly temptation. Somehow I thought, if I get a nice guitar, I'll sound better. Right. That worked well. Somehow the temptation justified unnecessary purchase. So should I blame on a store owner for selling the guitar to me? Or should I even blame on the guitar itself or guitar pick? How about the car that I drove to there? Blame solely lying on me. I made a decision. I promptly act upon it. That I purchased that guitar, that is not necessary. I give in to silly temptation. If that's the only kind of temptation we face, it's not bad. But there is some temptation actually will hurt us. We find chapter 4, verse 1 through 13, and find temptation against Jesus Christ. Three temptations. Before we go into text, we must go over a few things that will help us. I'm sure you all heard the famous excuse, devil made me to do it, yeah. Right? We have used it, and we are heard of somebody using it. Is it true? Devil made you to do it, or devil made me to do it? That's not true. Devil cannot make you to do it. Devil can entice you to do it, but he is not God that he can make you to do it. Devil cannot make us do anything. He's clever, and sometimes we feel like his temptation is so strong that he is all-powerful, omniscient, but he is not. He has a true and tried and true strategy that works just about every time to everyone. So we'll go through a few things, and we'll learn about the devil's strategy using temptation against us. Number one is, Satan lays out the bait. He knows about people as the angler knows about fish. He knows how to catch us. He knows our habit. He knows our weaknesses more than we do. Some of us may not even notice that we have the weakness in that area, but the devil knows that, and he make a note of it, and he will use it against us. Then he prepared a tailor-made lure and dropped right in front of us, dangling in front of us, tantalizing us. And, "Hey, hello, do you see what you see?" And we say, "Oh yeah, oh yeah." Second thing I find is Satan used the appeal. He doesn't drop the gunny sack and say, "Well, this is your bait." And they will say, "Forget it." He make that thing so attractive. He appealed to our fleshly nature to draw us to it. We linger over it like I did it playing with that guitar and toys over it and roll it over in our mind until they consumed our imagination. So notice there's a step that will make a special lure or temptation just for us, and he's living in front of us. And it's a custom made. It appeals to our fleshly nature. Third thing I find is the struggle begins. Right away, our conscience jabs in our heart, and hello, is there something what God wants you to do? We say, no, but. Whenever we say but, we just cancel everything what we said. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know what Bible says, but it canceled everything what Bible says I believe, but I'm going to override. That's our concept. And struggle begins, and we think about it. Okay, if I go for this temptation, I know the consequences will be great. But our fleshly desire wants something so bad. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? However, temptation, next thing is temptation ends with the two responses. Temptation ends with the two responses. Immediate temptation stop immediately as soon as we take action. Whether it's for that temptation, against that temptation. If we walk away from the temptation and we feel great, we know that God is strengthening us. We have a renewed strength. However, when we yield to the temptation and we feel defeated, we feel like a little warm. And it seems like, how could I bother? How could I go for that kind of temptation? And pain of a hook on our cheek is just pulling us down. Is that the only thing? No, that's not the only thing. Anyone knows? Somehow we think that God does not understand what kind of temptation we go through. Yes, he does. Jesus knows. Because Satan made a special potent, particularly potent bait for Jesus, our Savior. And we will go to the verse 1 of chapter 4. And we will read. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Would you underline next two words? Being tempted. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Remember last chapter, Jesus went to the Jordan River to be what? Baptized. What's the reason why he got baptized? So that he can identify himself with us, the sinners. However, this time he chose to go into the wilderness led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. Why did he do that? To identify with us about the temptation. Keep your finger right there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 is right in front of the book of James, right after the book of Titus in the New Testament. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted in every aspect that we go through, yet he did not sin against God the Father. That would be the first reason to identify with the sinners about the temptation. But the second reason is he exposed the tactic and the method of enemy revealed to us that how we can overcome and when we are tempted. First Adam was tempted in a perfect setting, perfect garden. And he lost because he gave in. However, second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was in the wilderness, wasteland. He won the battle because he depended on the Spirit and he used the Word of God. The first Adam and his wife twist the Word of God. That's the reason why they lost the battle. Let's move down. I'm sorry. I asked you on the line, being tempted. In Greek word, that being tempted is a tense, is a continuing tense. That means it's not just three times Jesus was tempted in 40 days or 40 nights of fasting and praying. He was tempted throughout the 40 days. These three things are particularly recorded in the Bible. There's many temptations he went through. Verse 2, second half. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. That shows that Jesus was very much human, 100% human and 100% God. And some of you are thinking, how can it be? Well, that's why he is God, we ain't, right? And the devil said to him, if, would you underline if, please, if you are son of God, and command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written on the line also, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'm one of those who need to eat three meals a day. And I just have to eat the three meals a day. If I don't eat meal, I skip meal, or they eat too late, I get cranky. Our assistant pastor Jack said, no, you don't get cranky, you get crankier. Nice guy. Who needs an enemy when you have a friend like that? I cannot just imagine somebody who can go on without eating 40 days. But Jesus did. I actually underline, if you are son of God, it sounds like a devil is doubting, and devil may not know that this is a Jesus. He knows this is a Jesus. Actually, this is the wrong translation. It should be translated, since you are son of God. Then it makes a whole lot more sense. While Jesus was physically exhausted and emotionally drained, this wasteland for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan is trying to put the doubt in the heart of Jesus that, you know, your father really don't care about you. He just let you starve to death like this. Jesus was literally at the end of the time where he pretty much starving to death. Somebody said this man can survive 40 days without food, 4 days without water, and 4 minutes without oxygen. Without hope, man cannot survive for 4 seconds. So Jesus at the verge of death, and at that time he was coming, and Satan is encouraging Jesus to fulfill his hunger, the fleshly desire, using divine power to make the turn this stone to the scrumptious bread with the butter just running down, you know. Yum, right? Test is more subtle because Satan wasn't asking to separate his spiritual side from physical side and physical pleasure. In Christian life, whenever we label the different area, my spiritual side, I'm going to follow God. But however, I really don't have to follow God with my physical side, do I? Or how about this? Well, financially, I don't have to give anything to God. Well, it's mine. I earned it. But what about the Word of God says? Tithe and offerings. And what about the emotional side? When you start to dissect your life, step by step, and then you say, well, God is in charge of this area, but God is not in charge of this area because I am. Guess what? God is not in charge of your life at all. Do you understand? When we start to segregate our life with some area, yes to God, some area, no, God is not in charge. Christ must be the first in every area of our lives, or he is first in nothing. This is better. It's better for us to be hungry in will of God and then satisfied with out of the will of God. We just sang, the better is one day in the court of the God than place where flourishing outside of the will of God. Jesus simply used the word of God to fight back against Satan. He quoted Deuteronomy 6, 8:3 to battle against Satan. But he emphasized the word man. Why did he say man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God? Because Jesus was not using some sort of spiritual, supernatural thing that is available only to him, but not to us, but he was using everyday thing to fight battle against Satan. Something we can use. If we are ignorant in God's truth, we are poorly armed in fight against temptation. We have at our disposal the same spiritual resources Jesus used. We have exactly the same kinds of arsenal against Satan. First one we see is that we have a prayer. Second one is the love of Father. And third one is this power of the Holy Spirit. And fourth one is the Word of God. We all have that. Then why are we not winning against the battle against the Satan? Because we don't exercise what we have. We have arsenal, the armory full of the arsenal, but we are not utilizing them. Satan tempts us to bring out the worst in us. But God wants to put the best in us. Temptation is Satan's weapon to destroy us, to defeat us. But God is using this tool to strengthen us. So when the temptation comes, when we overcome, guess who won that battle? It's by God's power, not our power. Let's move down to the verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on high mountain, now we see the first temptation recorded in the Bible. Taking him up on the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of, no, I'm sorry, this is the second one, duh. Kingdoms of the world and the moment of time, the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and the glory. Would you underline the next phrase? For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. As a prince of the world, Satan himself, he has been delegated with authority from God. Not only that, I should underline, this has been delivered to me. Who delivered this world to Satan and when? We can go all the way back to Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, it pretty much handing over the deed of the earth to Satan. It's yours. It used to be mine because God put the domain over the animals, all the earth, put them their power to the Adam and Eve. But they pretty much relinquished his authority to Satan. So he has rightful owner. Again, Jesus quoted the word of God. This time, Deuteronomy 6:13, Jesus knew that whatever we worship, that we serve. Service to the Lord is a true freedom, but the service to Satan is terrible, terrible bondage. God's pattern is to start with the suffering, end with the glory. But Satan's pattern is starting with a pleasure, bodily pleasure, physical pleasure, and emotional pleasure, and with the suffering. Satan wants us to sacrifice the eternity for the temporal things, and making us to think that we are taking easy way out. Yeah, easy way for sure, all the way out in the boondock to the hell. Folks, there's no shortcut. Listen carefully, please. Somehow, I used to think that. I thought when I became a Christian, 20 years ago, I thought I'm going to be this spiritual giant in no time. What a sorry excuse person I was. There's no such a thing as a shortcut being a mature Christian. You go through trials and tests and temptation. While we go through trials and temptation, we learn. We know how to get strength. We know how to overcome the temptation. Without that, we cannot be a strong Christian. Good example is the pine tree right in front of the most horrible wind blizzarding area, like a beachside. Those pine trees are strong. Why? Because they deeply rooted into the ground. When the storm comes, it survived through it. But any plant grown from the greenhouse, they don't survive in the outdoor nature. Why? Because they were pampered. Any Christian who is just pampered around, they would not survive against the trials and tests. The more we go through trials and tests, and as we overcome each trials and test, we learn and we grow. We become mature. Verse 9, excuse me. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Folks, would you put this? There we go. This is not a real temple. It's because you can see the bunch of the giants on the background. That, of course, it's a model. This temple is the temple of Herod. There was the three temples so far at this point. The first one is Solomon's temple that all the material was provided by the King David. Second temple is Zerubbabel, put that thing together with the Solomon's temple remain. This one is Herod's temple. It took 40 years to build. I was told, according to calculation, from here to here is 150 feet. That which equals about 12-story high building. It's made out of pure white marble, and on the top there's gold leaves. It's a pure gold leaves. Remember when the 70, when the Titus, the Emperor Titus, and sent his Roman troops, and they conquered Jerusalem, and somehow, according to the rumor, the drunken Roman soldier set the fire in the temple. All this gold started to melt down, and then to get the gold, they yanked all the stone, every one of them, fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus. And none of the stone will be remain in one place. That's happened. Anyway, this is about 12-story high building. Pretty much, according to this scripture, Jesus was taken by Satan all the way up to the top of that temple. And following the example, Satan decided to quote the Bible verses. And he was quoting from chapter 91 of Psalm, verse 11 and 12. Was it in context? No, it's not. It's misquoted. And also, he omitted the portion "in all your ways." This reminds me that Satan is a Bible expert. He will use the Bible. As a matter of fact, Satan is not the only one. All the cults, the one who follows Satan's way, majority of them base their cult in the Bible. If you use the Bible here and there, you can pretty much prove anything you want. When we try to get our order from God by picking our verses from here and there in the Bible, we are not living by faith, but yet we are living by chance and we are tempting God. Folks, it is important for us to notice here. we see the three temptations that Jesus had to face. Each time when the temptation was occurred to him, he said, he started with it. It is written, it is written, it is written. Remember the arsenal, four arsenals I mentioned. We have a prayer, we have a love of Father, we have a powerful Holy Spirit. And what do we have? We have the Word of God, this Bible. Unless we put this Word of God in our heart, we cannot fight against Satan. It is very important for us to know that we need the Word of God. When the child of God is in the will of God, God will protect that child. Protect you and protect me, as long as we're in the will of God. When we step out of will of God, we are pretty much daring God, and we're saying, I don't care what you say. Sometimes God let us get hurt to teach us. So if you are thinking that, well, I know God's going to protect me, so you step right in front of a Mack truck coming at about 70 miles per hour on I-19. See what happened. If you want to find out, try it. See what happened. I'll meet you in the funeral home, though. It doesn't work that way. Let's move down to the verse 13. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until what? An opportune time. Until opportune time. Would you underline that, highlight it, circle it, make an arrow down there, and so you remember it forever? Why? Because devil will always seek to come back on opportune time so that we should not let our guard down. If you turn your face to the right, and you will see Nate over there, and he didn't know that I'm going to point out to him. He just came back from the military training. Say hello to Nate. I'm sure he learned it. One of the first things that they drilled to us, who were soldiers, when you take the enemy territory, enemy hills, enemy bunker, first thing you do is setting up the perimeter. Before you open up the situation, before you celebrate and making a high five, all that, you set up the perimeter. Why? Because enemy will do the counterattack against you. Folks, it is so important. I think that one of the weaknesses of the church today is the lack of the Word of God in an individual's heart. Many people are following the sensationalism and are seeking exciting experience. And others are looking for the practical advice from the psychologist, the mumbo-jumbo. But they're looking, haven't you heard this old song, they're looking for love in all the wrong places? They're looking for advice in the wrong places. Guess where you can find the right advice? You can find the right guideline. Here, this book. People are looking for everything, everywhere, all the wrong places except one place. But what we need most is the Word of God in our heart, not another mumbo-jumbo from some psychologist who said that they know it all. We need a foundation from the Word of God. Let me ask you these questions. Number one, do you know your weak area? Do you know that you have your weak areas? If you think that you are perfectly strong, I need to talk to you. Your pride is your weak area. If you know, then what are you going to do about it? Are you going to make that place strong so you don't have to fight against it? And when the onslaught, the attack comes from the enemy, are you going to patch that area? Wrong. You don't have a time. Folks, listen up. Bait of temptation is not sin. Bait of temptation is not a sin. However, the bite of temptation is. Jesus also faced the temptation, but he didn't take a bite. We often do. Let's go to the James chapter 4, verse 7. Don't close your Bible. James chapter 4, verse 7. I highly recommend you to memorize this verse, James 4:7. It's not that long. It's a very simple verse. It will literally save your life. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Would you put the number one there? Submit to God. That's number one. Number two is resist the devil. Number one and number two is very important. Let's look at number one, submit to God. I have not seen anyone who can whip Satan with his own physical power. Number one, he's a spiritual being, so we cannot overcome. Besides, he was a former angel. He's a formidable being. He's the ruler of this world. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. And he's the destroyer. He's a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. He's out there to kill you, to destroy you, to rob you. The main reason why people become the willful casualty is because they are willing to go for the bait. When they faced temptation, they didn't have a spiritual weapon against Satan. What would be the spiritual weapon we can have? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians is between the Galatians and the Philippians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and having the shod your feet with the preparation of gospel peace, above all, taking a shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones, and take a helmet of salvation. So far, all the pieces of armor are what? Defensive. But now here is one offensive weapon that we can use. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that is the key. We need the Word of God. Memorize scripture verses. And you say, well, I forget. I cannot remember. So do I. I live close to the Green Valley. We all live close to the Green Valley. We forget things. And I have this bird brain syndrome. I forget things. Repeat them. Get one verse in 1 week, memorize it. Repeat over and over and over. And leave the 3x5 card where you can see it. Put it in the front of the mirror in the bathroom. Memorize over and over until it becomes one of yours. Go again. Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Someday, the word scripture you memorize will come alive. God will bring it to remembrance and it will save you. Second thing I find in James chapter 4 verse 7 is resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? That's including running away from the temptation. If you stand in front of temptation and linger around, look at it and toy with it, guess what happened to you? You will fall for it. I will fall for it. Good example is Joseph. When he was tempted by the Mrs. Potiphar, guess what he did? He left his coat. That guy just could not keep his coat. You remember the first coat and second coat? And he just ran away from Mrs. Potiphar. That's the kind of thing we have to do. When the temptation occurs, change the setting. Walk away from it. Turn off the TV. So you go through the trouble with the pornography magazine you subscribe, cancel it. Some of you might say, well, I still have some subscription left. So what? Lose that money. It's better than you go through temptation. If you have a problem with the porno movies or the horrible movies you watch, don't go see it. Simple as that. I struggle with that same thing like you struggle with. Seems like nowadays all the good movie has all the bad scenes, all the bad languages. Why do they have to do it that way? That's the con of movie makers. What about the drinking alcohol or doing drugs? Are you struggle with that? And now in this place, as some of you said, well, how can you talk about the, using drugs and alcohol in this church? I don't know what you do behind the closed door. If you're struggling with the drinking and using drugs, and whom do you hang around with? Do you hang around with beer-drinking buddies and belly-scratching guys? Then you will fall for it. Guys, temptation can be avoided rather easily if we know what's happening. Keep yourself accountable with somebody. And then some of you may have a problem with the internet porno site. Put the blocker on. And don't, it doesn't work if you put the blocker on, you put your own password. Then when you want it, guess what do you do? Password. Click, 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 you're in. No. Put the blocker on, have somebody come and put the password in. You don't know that password. Keep yourself accountable. Easy to say it, hard to do it. You guys, some of you have an outburst of anger. When you have that outburst of anger, that's also sin. When you have that kind of thing, why do you stay there and continue to fume over that thing or over that person? Walk away. Walk away and pray for that person and ask God to give you the patience and love for that person. Like I said, it's not easy. Hard to do it. We just have to pay attention. Do I succeed every time? No. If that's the case, I would be a perfect person. I'm not. Third application. When we resist the temptation, be ready for the different approach. When we go remove the, when we fight against the Satan's temptation and we overcome that thing with one temptation, he has five more he can pull out from his head. Fourth application, not temptation. The biggest defeat in our spiritual warfare comes right after the glorious victory against Satan, because we tend to let our guard down. This is something I'm going to ask you to write it down and memorize. Oh, good. Put it in your heart. Too much word and not enough spirit, we get puffed up because of pride. Too much spirit, not enough word, we blow up. We just mumble. We are not good for nothing. Just enough with the word and spirit together, we grow up. Remember that. You need the spirit of God. You need the word of God. Don't think that word of God, the spirit will just make you to memorize the entire Bible and no time. It takes time. It takes effort to put the word in our heart so that we may not sin against God. Let's stand up and pray.